This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sure, what show this is. I don't know if this is a deliberate noise or noise box or movie noise or comic book noise, or quite possibly could even be a book noise. The reason I don't know is because what I'm about to talk about can actually touch on all of those subjects. Movies, books and comic books. And on top of that, you know, noise box is usually where I try to contain all my talking. But every now and then I just will chop something up, put music in it, and boom, there you go. Now we got a deliberate noise. But basically, what I want to say is I hate time travel. You know, and not the time travel that we all do, which is 1 second at a time. But I hate time travel in pop culture. You know, and the pop culture that I have consumed over the years. Simply because there's this television show now. That's on ABC, I believe, called Flash Forward, and it's based on some books, or a book. I'm not even 100% sure. And basically what happens, and I realize that this is different from the books, but on the television show, what happens is everybody on the planet, almost everybody on the planet, passes out all at once. For 2 minutes and some odd seconds, right? Like two minutes and 37 seconds, and it's supposedly real important. I'm not even sure exactly why they picked 2 minutes and 37 seconds, or even if it is 2 minutes and 37 seconds, but you know what I mean? It's a very specific number, right? And in that time, most of the people who passed out saw a vision of their life 6 months in the future. One thing I found interesting is that they were all not at the same time. You know, if it was all everybody saw their life at the same time 6 months into the future, that would have been to me a little bit more interesting, because that would have said that there was like some sort of almost a rip in time at that particular moment, and that's why everybody was seeing the same moment, basically. But there are sometimes where people are during the day, at night, and I thought that it had something to do with different time zones, but it didn't really have anything to do with a bunch of different time zones. It's really, really weird, you know? One thing that they have... And the reason that it's different from the book is apparently the book had everyone seeing 21 years into the future. And I'm going off of what I remember from Wikipedia. But basically what happens is a lot of people start to lose their faith in a lot of different things, because they know what's going to happen. They know where they're going to be at in 21 years. Some people are upset by the inevitability of it all, you know? I mean, I'm 42. If you told 21-year-old me that I'd be driving down a highway talking into a mic so that I could put my thoughts into a sound file for the computer that other people can listen to you know, can copy to their computer and listen to. You know, we're talking 21 years ago, okay? I would have told you, you know, hey, fire up a spliff for me because you are really out there. You know, things change, you know, so I'm assuming some of these people are taking glimpses into the future and, you know, 21 years into the future, and they have found some way to market, you know, upcoming things, you know, or get patents on shit. I don't know. I'm curious about reading the book, but I kind of like the TV show, because the book sounds like it's a lot of philosophy and a lot of quantum theory, which to me, and I'll tell you how I feel about that whole thing. And now, you know what? I'm not even going to do it. I'll tell you right now, straight up. I think it's all bullshit, okay? We all forget one thing, that there is really no time, all right? All it is differing levels of I think atrophy. We all are eventually going to die and turn into mush or ash or whatever, right? There is no time. It was something that a bunch of people a long time ago got together and said, hey, when the sun is right above this line in the, you know, this stick, the shadow of the stick disappears. Hey, let's call that a day. If it goes from one all the way to again, that's a day. Okay, well, let's chop it up. You know, I mean, it's all man-made. That's one thing people forget. Time is man-made. The way that we register time is man-made. The only thing that time really does, the only reason that there is such a thing as a passage of time is because of all our bodies start to atrophy. You know, we all start to break down. We will all die. Now, that little, you know, what, 30-second piece of crap I just said, I think the book might be like several hundred pages of something like that. Or, you know, it's people talking about how basically there really is no free will, that everything is all predetermined, predestined. And I don't want to read that shit either, you know? I mean, that's one of the reasons why I don't like time travel. I don't like time travel movies. I don't like time travel TV shows, like, with the exception of Quantum Leap, because Quantum Leap didn't even try to put any kind of rules in place, all right? The only rule, no, there was no rule, because, you know, there was, you know, you could say the only rule was that, you know, Sam jumped around and there was Al, and Al was Ziggy and all that kind of stuff. But even then, they switched up, you know? I still think it would have been kind of cool if they had showed Sam Beckett jumping into the body of Magnum P.I., because that was a proposal, a story proposal at one time. But Tom Selleck had just shaved off his mustache and he didn't want to grow it back. Some people don't like it because they say, well, why would he jump into a fictional character? And somebody, I swear to God, somebody said that to me once. They're like, I don't like that idea because, you know, I don't like the idea of him jumping into a fictional character. And I'm thinking, asshole, he is a fictional character. You know? I think that would have been cool if they had established that the world of Thomas Magnum and the world of Sam Beckett were one and the same. But for some reason, that guy just didn't get it. Anyway, but the whole thing had to do with the inevitability of what's going to happen, because one of the characters is an FBI agent who is played by the very, very underwhelming Joseph Fiennes. I really don't like him in this show. He's probably the only FBI agent on the show that I don't really like. The rest of them, I kind of like. They all have their quirks. They have their personalities. I like them. He is the main focus. I don't really like him. I don't like his wife. I don't like his kid. But they are, like, the focus of the show. So, you know, we got to deal with them for, what, 22 out of 42 minutes? Anyway, he has this, you know, in his flash forward, he's standing in front of this board with all these different clues, and somebody's coming in to kill him, you know, and he's drinking and all that kind of stuff. Who cares, right? But so far, the only part that he really seems to play is he's going around stumbling over all these clues to try to get a bigger picture, you know, an eye of the bigger picture. But when he does that, he's kind of finding these clues, and, you know, he'll pick up a little clue and say, "This is on my board." And, you know, the only reason that it's on his board is because he saw that it was on his board. That's why he picked it up. In his last episode, and I'm spoiling it for those of you who haven't seen it, but he goes into this club and he picks up this book of matches. And the only reason he picked up the book of matches is because he saw it in his flash forward. And the only reason it was in that flash forward is because he picked up the book of matches. You know? Ah! Hate that kind of crap. But what really got me to thinking is that's what this whole show has been really based around, right? Is these people are trying to see how they are going to get into the situation 6 months into the future, okay? And by the way, I kind of like the 6 months better than the 21 years simply because with, number one, 21 years would be damn near impossible to do on a television show. But I could actually see people who get a flash forward of, you know, 21 years into the future, forgetting about it or blocking it out, you know, get some kind of mental block so that, you know, or just dealing with it. Say, oh, okay, well, 21 years, this is where I'll be. But with 6 months, it's more like a punch in the gut. You really don't know what's going to happen. You know, you really are kind of, you know, thrown for a loop, you know. And of course, there are people who don't see anything, so they think they're dead. You know, quite frankly, they could just be asleep or in the dark, you know. Who knows? Anyway, on the last, you know, and that's what the whole show has been based around, right? On this last episode, one of the FBI agents, one of the FBI agents I liked a lot, kept seeing himself investigating a case, you know, and he was in England and he was with another FBI agent who I believe he hadn't met yet, or he might have met her once. I can't remember which one. When a bird flies into a window, he gets up to take a phone call, and then, like, the flash is over. Well, this week we find out exactly what was going on with his flash. And basically, he is on the phone with his lawyer, and he finds out that some woman who was in an accident that he caused ended up dying. Her kids were now orphans, and he felt bad about it because he killed this woman. Well, like I said, the whole thing has been around the inevitability of these flash forwards. You can kind of see where I'm going with this, okay? At the end of the show, he decides that the only way around that, since everything else has been happening so far, is to change the future. And the only way that he knows for a fact that he can change the future is to kill himself. Okay, now remember, he's already seen the flash forward 6 months into the future. He kills himself, all right? And once he did that, to me, that says, okay, he has changed time. So there is, you know, he has changed the future. So there are really no rules. This show has already established certain rules. And one of the rules that they established was inevitability. You know, there have been a couple of people before who said that, you know, they saw nothing and they ended up dying. Now, none of that might come true. You know, now, is it one of those things where they're trying to show that, you know, some people's flash forwards come true and others don't? Or are they showing that, you know, maybe he was deranged and, you know, he thought that he saw his future? I would think that, but another person corroborated his flash forward, you know? And I'm seeing this like, you know, it's like, okay, so he's changed the future. And there's, like, something else that happens. Somebody who was believed to have been missing for, you know, all this time, but, you know, was seen in a flash forward, all of a sudden shows up at the end of this episode. And it's just like, wait a minute. Okay, so he's changed the future that much. Which is kind of like a pain in the ass, all right? Because the show has already established one thing, okay? And that is, these things are basically inevitable, all right? Okay, they're trying to show, hey, we can switch things up. Not everything might happen the way you think. Yeah, okay. And it got me to thinking about other time travel stories and the rules that they set for themselves and pretty much how it kind of contradicts other stories, you know? And, you know, one author does not have to, is not beholden to follow the rules that another author sets place. Case in point, Twilight and their vampires as opposed to everybody else's vampires under the sun, you know? No problem. Okay, although it is kind of odd to see all these different vampire stories that come out now, and they all have their own little tweaks, and it's all just like, what? Oh, come on, just give Buffy. Just let's end this, all right? The two things that really popped up are things that, well, one of them I've seen recently, okay? And basically, I was thinking about the movie The Time Machine, which is based on the H.G. Wells book, which I've never been able to finish. I probably need to finish it one day, but I've seen the movie with, the Menu. I can't remember the guy. I think it's like Rod Taylor. I'm not 100% positive. I mean, I've seen the one with Christian Bale. And they both set one rule, and that is that you can only go forward in time, which if you don't subscribe, if you need to subscribe to time being some tangible thing, unlike myself, then yes, that is true, because you can only go forward in time. We are currently going forward in time now, 1 second at a time. But in their show, you know, in their movie, it's just like they could only go forward, you know, and that's why he ends up so far into the future. And I like that, you know, that makes sense. But then you have other things like Quantum Leap, which says that, you know, theorizing that a person could travel in, you know, anywhere in his own timeline, which, okay, like I said, they really, they didn't even stick to that, because he went into, like, the Civil War times and shit, you know, and they tried to say, well, it had something to do with DNA. Now he's traveling on his other people's DNA. It's like, okay, come on now. You guys have just said, you know what, we're taking a piss all over you, which, yeah, like I said, I like Quantum Leap, so I don't really have a problem with it. But they, like I said, they never really played fast and hard. They knew that they weren't going to write themselves into a corner, because that's why they immediately had shit like very first episode. He couldn't remember a damn thing, you know. When you have to write an amnesia like that, it's just like, that's so they can fill in anything they want, you know. But that's what he, you know, he theorized that a person can travel any point in their own timeline, from the time they were born to the time they die, okay? But you never really saw him go into the future, which made me think, okay, so it's not his timeline, it's his timeline up to that point. So from the second he was born up until the second he stepped into the quantum accelerator, he could travel any point in that time. Okay, just back and forwards, willy-nilly, however he felt like, or however, you know, the malfunction, or God, or whoever it was, was, right? And by the way, horrible last episode. Horrible. They had the last last couple of minutes where they follow up on the whole Beth episode. That was cool. But then, you know, the very last thing where they said that he never found his way home. I was like, that's a... talk about not giving closure. Anyway, there's another thing that I read recently, which is the last issue of Planetary, which was put out by Wildstorm Comics, written by Warren Ellis. And basically, his theory is that you can travel back in time to when a time machine was turned on. Okay, from the future to the past, whenever it was turned on, right? But you can't go beyond that. You can't go, you can't go into the past further than that because the time machine wasn't there, you know, which kind of helps solve that whole paradox. Going back to the past, but, you know, if you change the past, then you change your whole reason for going back to the past, you know. I hate time paradoxes. And so his whole thing was you could travel back in time to when the time machine was turned on, right? And I guess that's like the begin point. I don't know when the end points were, but that makes sense. You can, you know, kind of like the time machine made sense where you can only go forward. This kind of made sense in their world that you can only go backwards because they put some sort of a limitation on it, all right? And by the way, I liked the movies, the Back to the Future movies. Although the second one gave me a bit of a headache trying to figure all that shit out. But, I kind of liked them because, you know, I was a kid when they came out. And it was like, ooh, I never thought about that. But then once I thought about it, it's like, wait a minute, what? So that means there's two Marty McFlys running around on that planet for a few minutes, right? It's just like, ugh, whatever. Anyway, and they changed the whole future. Ugh. Anyway, but that's not something I would ever even consider treating seriously in any kind of way, right? To me, Back to the Future, Quantum Leap, you can't take either of them serious because they're so over the top in their representation of time travel. As though there's a real good one, right? There's one that you could really say, yes, I believe that could happen. But, you know, there's all these theories, right? Which, like I said, I don't subscribe to any of them because I'm traveling through time now, right? And, in fact, once I start playing this, I'll go back in time. I'll go back in time. How far back will I go? I will go back 22 minutes and 31 seconds back in time to hear what I was saying. You get my point, all right? And so that just... Flash forward, just bugged me because it's like you set up these rules, you set up this whole thing, and then you change it with absolutely no real explanation other than, you know, anything can happen. It's like, no, you've already established that anything can't happen. You've already established that the only thing that can happen is what you've already seen. There was this one minor character who was a bartender in a bar, and you know, everybody's asking her, well, what was your flash forward? I was at work in this bar, you know, because not everything is going to be big and flashy. Some shit is just going to be people, like I said, going to work. There was one dude whose flash forward was he was taking a shit. You know, I mean, it's like, and this wasn't just some like throwaway little thing. This was like one of the not the main characters, but a major character. And his whole flash forward was, yeah, I was taking a shit at the time. You know, and it's like they played it up for laughs. But the fact of the matter is that, yeah, OK, some people are going to see themselves taking shits. Okay, I mean, fuck it. Unless they live in the world of 24 Jack Bauer, who can go 24 hours, sometimes sit down and take a nap, but never goes to the bathroom. And that's probably why he's always yelling and running around. Because he's like, oh man, I gotta shit. We gotta hurry up and get this over with. Damn it, we gotta stop the bomb. Oh, I gotta go. But anyway, time travel has always bugged me. You know, unless you're just like so over the top, it's like, all right, I can't, I mean, I'm not even gonna bother trying to take you serious. Right? If you go into a saying, you know what, these rules, they don't really matter. You know, we're making up as we go along. All right, fine. You know, Legion of Superheroes, mostly time travel stories. They have absolutely no problem. Kang the Conqueror, least favorite villain up there with Mojo. You know, they try to make him make some sort of sense, and it's like, ugh, you know what? Rama Tut, Immortus, Kang, Doctor Doom, who gives a fuck about any of them? Only one of those characters has any kind of longevity. You know, yeah, they've all been around forever, but there's only one of those characters people really care about, and that's Doctor Doom. You know? Everything else, just a waste, okay? Time travel, just to me, just doesn't work. Maybe it's because, like I said, I see it as man-made. Yeah, don't even get me started on the whole concept of money. I'm not even going there. That might one day be a different podcast. But let's just say the same thing that holds our concept of time together is the same thing that holds our concept of money together. You know, because, you know, there's this whole thing, CP time, color people time. You know why? Because I guess color people just realize there's no such fucking thing as time. Anyway, yeah, and I'll... If you're going to do time travel, make sure that you set forth some rules and you stick to them. All right. If you wanted, if you know, I probably wouldn't have had a big deal with it if they had shown little things that didn't quite go as planned, right? But no, this is like the first episode where they were just like, oh yeah, anything can change at any time. It's like, oh, all right, whatever. Time travel, I have no use for time travel. Because I was thinking, if I could go back in time, oh, what's the one thing I would do? And then it was like, anything that conceivably that I had done would either, number one, be totally worthless. Because if I go back and I make a change where I go to college right out of high school, right, if that happens, then I would not be recording a podcast right now. Okay, I would not have Steven. I would not have my dogs or cats. I would not have a comic book collection. Okay, you see what I'm saying? My whole life would have been completely different. Or all this stuff is supposed to happen, and somewhere on else down the line, shit changes. Either way, I don't give a fuck because it's all in the past, you know? That's one time travel that's already been done. Ugh, time travel. All right, that was the first episode of Sci-Fi Noise. Just a quick something or another. First off, when I was talking about the time machine, the original version starred Rod Taylor, and the remake that I was talking about did not star Christian Bale, but instead Guy Pearce, who, you know, is in one of my all-time favorite movies, Memento. But I was driving home from work late at night because I worked the afternoon shift, and I was actually talking to keep myself awake. That's why, you know, there were a couple of little, you know, factual missteps there. And as you can tell, towards the end, I started to get really sleepy because I was swearing a lot more than I thought I actually did. This, like I said, is the first episode. You can get details at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. And I will try to do these things on at least a semi-regular basis. Thank you for listening. I've been your host, Derek Howard, and you can send me some feedback on this episode to Derek at deliberatenoise.com. That's D-E-R-E-K. Or if you're so inclined, you can also call the Deliberate Noise hotline at area code 734-274-5919. Thanks for listening.
I'm going to go.